31 degrees. It's 5:45. Time for the best 5 minutes of the day. Jason Kanz, good morning.
Good morning.
It is Thursday, November 21st. The sand is going through the hourglass on this year, isn't it?
It is. It is definitely hard to believe. Tessa said to me the other day, she's like, Black Friday is coming up. And I thought, I'm not ready for that. And I think the weather has kind of tricked us into believing we're not quite as far along in the year as we are.
Your young 15-year-old, does she like to shop?
Sometimes, yeah. I think it's something that she will enjoy and then we'll get too much of.
Okay.
She's looking forward to it this year, I think.
But. You know, it's shopping is just a whole different connotation nowadays with online and everything, right?
It is, yeah. You know, eventually we're going to see Black Friday showing up in June. And, I think it just, they keep pushing it up, and it's different than what it used to be. So
Stephen Curtis Chapman, 62 today.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
He still looks like he's 19.
Yeah,
but,
yeah. You know, one of the things that helps with that is if you don't do the facial hair, then you don't have that whole gray beard thing going on.
Sure, that's true. True enough. Yeah,
I've noticed that from firsthand experience because we came back in 2017. Karen Hurd was having the Lumber Baron movie, so I grew a beard for it. And, yeah, which was, it wasn't a hit with my wife either. So
nice.
So yeah. We talked earlier, even on Monday, about Make America Kind Again. And our friend Cody, who is a listening friend, had been advocating for that, as have some others. And just so happens with Stephen Curtis turning 62 yesterday during the 11 o'clock hour with Pat Wall, he played the song from SC Squared, Kindness, which just wonderful, rich lyrics. I encourage people to check that song out. And I mean, basically, it's part of the chorus is, what if we lived with a heart of kindness? What if we loved like we've been loved? If that's all that we're remembered for, well, let that be enough. I had tears in my eyes listening to that.
That's beautiful. Yeah. You know, I think that in a world where there's just so much hate and bickering and fighting, to be the kind of people who are kind, you know, I think that was always my draw to Bob Goff. Mm-hmm. I think that was part of your draw to Mr. Rogers,
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's the kind of people we want to be.
So I try to read aloud to my wife. We'll play the New York Times Connections game, which, by the way, that's really helped us connect better. And it's easier if you have two people. So,
Sure. Anyhow,
nice. We do that at night. But then I try to read to her. I read some last night. But I've been thinking about going back because one of our favorite read alouds from all time is Bob Goff's Love Does. It's just so fun.
It is a fun book. He's a engaging writer, great storyteller, and it has just this beautiful message that comes with it.
Yeah, if you want to give a great book for Christmas that the person's going to love, Love Does by Bob Goff.
I would 100% agree with that.
Yeah. All right, let's check out Matthew 26, 23, and 24 today.
And that says, he replied, "One of you who has just eaten from this bowl with me will betray me, for the Son of Man must die as the Scriptures declared long ago. But how terrible it will be for the one who betrays him. It would be far better for that man if he had never been born."
And in Letters to the Beloved, your devotional commentary, you say, "My son answered their question. It is the man who just dipped his hand in the dish with me who will betray me. Isaiah anticipated that the Messiah would be a suffering servant, and so I am. But woe to the one who betrays the Son of Man. It would be better not to be born than to betray a friend." You go on. "Child, value your relationships and stay attuned to your motivations. When self-centeredness guides you, you will harm or betray your friends. That is not how it ought to be. Seek amends when you hurt one another." Final thought.
Yeah, it feels like good advice. I think the being aware of what's stirring inside for us, but again, to be guided by love, I think is really important.
All right, tell you what, we're going to throw it open today, at least between now and 7. Caleb can decide after 7 if he wants to carry it on. But in honor of Stephen Curtis Chapman, if people have a SC Squared song they want to hear, let me know on the listener line at 715-396-1670. You usually say The Mountain when I throw that out to you.
Yeah, that's my favorite.
All right.
You know, that whole anything from that whole album, I think, is good. Heaven in the Real World, another great one from that album.
So. Very good. Thank you, friend. Our buddy Jason Kanz, WWIB. Hey, we've got an anniversary here from Bob in Rice Lake. He's got happy 43rd anniversary to Jeff and Janice Lastkovich. Continued blessings as you show the love of Christ to the world through your relationship. That's great.
And speaking of Mycon Cinemas, I was chatting with Connie from Mycon Cinemas. Thank you so much for your support of the best Christmas pageant ever. It may not be in theaters much longer, too, kind of depending on how things go this weekend. So hopefully you can get out and support it and keep it in there longer. As always, there's some big blockbuster movies coming out around the holidays, especially around Thanksgiving week. I can think of three really big movies coming out. So to make sure the best Christmas pageant ever stays on the screen, really important to get out there and support it so that even more people can see this wonderful faith-based family-friendly film. So if you haven't seen it or maybe want to see it again, bring a friend. The best Christmas pageant ever at Mycon Cinemas in Eau Claire and Chippewa Falls. Important to get out this week and this weekend to go see it.
Dave Barnes, God Gave Me You, WWIB. And Caleb, that song was very timely.
Yes, indeed. And goes out to Sherry and Gary from Bloomer celebrating 6 years of marriage today. Happy anniversary, guys.
Grandparents, I know you love and appreciate yours very much.
Yeah, and again, I just have two living grandparents left down in southwestern Iowa. Looking forward to seeing them after Christmas. But survey revealed recently some of the best advice and topics of that advice we've been given by our grandparents.
Yeah, let's do it from 5 to 1. Number 5 is how to do basic DIY, do it yourself.
I know both my grandpas actually taught me some basic woodworking things. Mm-hmm. So I remember building a birdhouse with my grandpa Swenson, and man, Grandpa Byers taught me a lot, especially how to stack wood, too. Mm. So number four, how to be smart with money. Best advice we've received from our grandparents.
How do you not think of Dave Ramsey, who talks about we teach you stuff that your grandma did, right? So number three, how to clean.
Best advice we've received from our grandparents, top five here. Number two, according to this survey, how to cook. Grandparents taught us how to cook. Hmm.
And the number one thing that people say they've learned from their grandparents is how to be thankful.
Hmm. That's fantastic. Mm-hmm. I again, think of so many lessons that I've learned. Again, my Grandpa Byers is no longer here on earth. But, man, I think so much of my work ethic came from my grandpa.
Hmm.
Grew up as a farm kid in Iowa, went to Iowa State, forest ranger, just incredibly generous, incredibly hardworking man, and fortunate enough to still have my grandparents, my grandma and grandpa Swenson in Iowa, like I mentioned. And I know I've mentioned this before, but the way that my grandpa, kind of the patriarch of our family, has just taken so much ownership in spiritual leadership, especially at Christmas, and so bold, even as he's gotten, you know, older and older, becoming bolder and bolder with the fact that this is important, family. Mm-hmm. You need to follow Jesus Christ with everything you've got. There is nothing more important than that in this life. And I appreciate that so much about the fact that he will not shy away from the fact that this is what lasts and this is what matters, your relationship with Christ.
Amen to that. Yeah. My grandma taught me that as well. She's the grandparent I got to know the best. And this song, Jeff Moore, referencing his own grandma. Thanks to our friend Sherry and Bloomer for these words of encouragement today.
Thank you, Whip, and thank you guys for everything you do. You are an amazing radio station, and I look forward to every day listening to you. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Sherry, and thanks to all of you Whip listeners.
We've mentioned that we are past the halfway point now of our 60 Ways in 60 Days campaign for Feed My People Food Bank, where every dollar you give provides two meals. And to give us more perspective on this, we have Suzanne Becker, the Feed My People Executive Director, recently announced that she's retiring. And so we're so glad that we can have Suzanne here at least one more time. And also Christine from Chippewa Valley Technical College. Welcome, ladies. So glad to have you with us here on the WIB Wake Up Show this morning.
Thank you, Caleb.
Thank you, Caleb. Good to be here.
Let's start off with you, Christine, if we could. So you've mentioned a couple of years working with a food pantry at CVTC. How have you seen the need change or grow in that time?
Well, I what I've seen is that people who may have come one or two times are coming more often, and they're taking larger quantities of food. And we all know that food prices have been very expensive, especially the last year and a half. So I think that that's part of it, definitely.
Absolutely.
Suzanne, from your end, you've been with Feed My People since 2011, so you've had quite an experience rising up to serving as executive director. And it seems like one of the things I've seen is these added locations for food pantries and the pop-ups, right?
You know, we've learned most certainly that hunger, it doesn't just exist in one population. And we it's taken us time to learn that college folks, young adults, working families are very much struggling right now. And when they're struggling, the food budget is the thing that usually gets set aside or cut. So we're very grateful to be able to working with CVTC and UWC along with all the other schools to try to reach out to all those folks that may have fallen through the cracks otherwise. And CVTC does it in a very respectful way. I was there not too long ago. They have a beautiful space. And we're very grateful for what they do, again, to try to reach those folks that are getting missed otherwise.
And can you speak to that a little bit, Christine? So the college student population, because a lot of times we focus with good reason on children, but I think it's grown more and more in recent years, realizing our senior citizen population. And as Suzanne just mentioned, college students could easily be overlooked. But again, when you're struggling to pay for something that's really expensive like college, and you know those costs haven't gone down, but also basic, you know, things like utilities and groceries have gone up as well, too. It's probably been a struggle for more and more students, no matter where they go to school.
You're spot on, Caleb. It's interesting, though. It's not just young men and women. It's families. It's couples. It's because CVTC serves such a wide range of individuals.
Yeah.
We might have what we call you know, a typical college-age student, but then we have people who are starting at really any point in their lives career-wise, changing careers, just getting their GED. We have so many programs that offer people to enter into education at many different points in their lives. So yeah, that means we serve a lot of people of, you know, a lot of ages.
So very uniquely positioned to serve, absolutely, again, a wide variety of people in every walk of life. And maybe that goes to show just how wide-ranging the need truly is.
Absolutely. And one thing, I was talking with Elisa Schley, my supervisor, and I said to her, you know, we provide this really a safe space, and people trust us enough to be vulnerable because nobody wants to admit necessarily that they need. But the space that we have, as Suzanne mentioned, it's a beautiful space. It's a welcoming space, and people feel comfortable there. And it's a way to connect to the campus. And we believe in it strongly, as do faculty and staff and the fabulous partner we have in Feed My People.
So, again, we've got our 60 Ways in 60 Days campaign, Christine, Suzanne, and going through December 15th, our generous business sponsors collectively have committed $5,000, and we're trying to match that, hopefully exceed it, but at least match it. And so I just wonder, as we wind down here, starting with you, Suzanne, and maybe Christine, you could talk directly to that radio listener. They've been hearing these ads for about a month, and just tell them about the reality and invite them to support the cause at WIB.com.
Yes. You know, we are very grateful to your listeners because they, time after time, step up to help. I have to tell you, just yesterday, we were going through some stats, and that our kids' meal program that's in all of the schools in Eau Claire and Chippewa, we've seen a 68% increase in kids coming.
Wow.
We haven't seen that kind of a rise for a long time, and I think there are many reasons for that, many reasons, and we don't have time to talk about all of that. But whether it's a child, whether it's a teen, whether it's a college age, young, all the way up to seniors, right? They all have struggles. We need to reach every one of them in the best way we can. We need to strengthen them, because then when we support them, we support our communities. We support everything that we're doing. And it's just a really critical time. And we're very grateful for this campaign. And every bit counts, right? Every bit counts. And if anybody has a little bit to give, and if you don't, then share the message. Share the message of our neighbors that are struggling, and there are resources available. I encourage anybody to reach out to us anytime if they are struggling, and we will connect them to resources. We will make sure it happens.
And I don't know, if just want to encourage or invite people to take part in the campaign.
Absolutely. I thank everybody for past contributions, and just listen to your heart and know that whatever you can give is greatly appreciated by every student who uses our pantry. We always hear excellent things. They're so appreciative, always.
And I think what's amazing as well, too, is we talk about this need and talk about the pantry at CVTC. That is just one of so many partner agencies. Suzanne, you probably couldn't give the exact number, but I mean, it's well over 200, maybe over 250 local hunger relief agencies all throughout the listening area. So this isn't just an Eau Claire, Chippewa Falls thing. This is all throughout the range of our voices on the radio right now, where the need is, and you are going actively out to meet that need where it is, and we're so grateful for that.
You bet. You bet. Absolutely. 14 counties, and we understand that the need is everywhere.
Well, thank you so much, Suzanne. Thank you, Christine. And Suzanne, it's been great to call you a friend and a partner for so many years. And we certainly wish you all the best in your retirement. And we know you're going to keep on carrying the torch here as long as possible.
Yeah, I'm not going anywhere. I'm just looking for some new opportunities to help our community. So
terrific. Well, you've done a great job with Feed My People for so many years and leading up to executive director. So thank you, Christine. Good to see you again. Yeah,
good to see you, Mark.
All right.
Nice to meet you, Caleb.
Well, again, WIB.com, people can go to support 60 Ways in 60 Days.
Right, yeah, Caleb? We have a big red bar right at the top of the page to make it easy to click on WIB.com/60Ways. And of course, please remember to put WIB Matching Challenge in the comments section or the memo line of your check so those funds get directed to the campaign. Well, every year, Halvo, around November, it seems like the same old question resurfaces. What exactly is the difference, if there is one, between stuffing and dressing, because different people call it different things, but sometimes it seems like the terms are interchangeable.
And every year, we believe it to be a simple answer. Stuffing is what you call that delicious mix of bread that's cooked inside the bird, and dressing is what you call it when you cook that same bread mixture outside of the turkey.
Now, unfortunately, the answer is not as clear-cut as that. I'm learning this as I read it. It turns out that we use different terms based on what region we live in, no matter what ingredients we use, because, of course, it's like a pop soda thing or a duck, duck, gray duck, I guess.
Hmm. Yeah. Most differences in regional recipes are a result of what's available locally. Oyster dressing popular in coastal areas, cornbread stuffing popular in the South, and sourdough stuffing big in Northern California.
In the South, it's typically referred to as dressing. In the Northeast, it's almost always stuffing.
In Pennsylvania Dutch country, it's actually called filling and is mixed with mashed potatoes.
Okay, the name sounds weird, but that sounds delicious. Uh-huh. In the rest of the country, it's mostly referred to as stuffing, but not always. There's one state north of the Mason-Dixon line that prefers the term dressing, and that's Iowa.
I gotta say that I think I just did have an early Thanksgiving last weekend, and I had some of the stuffing. I'm gonna call it stuffing.
I call it that, too.
There was mashed potatoes, too. But I'd prefer to if I mix it on my own if I choose to. But anyway.
Sure, okay.
So despite the South's affection for dressing, oftentimes in those states, it's also called stuffing.
According to Epicurious, the only states that search for dressing recipes over stuffing recipes were Alabama, Louisiana, and Mississippi, if you wanted to know.
That's way more information than you were asking for.
I mean, this is the thing. If the sparkling conversation lulls at your Thanksgiving dinner table, there you go. We've given you some filler and not the Pennsylvania Dutch kind.
All right.
Well, how about some things to do to liven up the conversation around that Thanksgiving dinner table? These might be slightly far-fetched, but they are amusing.
Yes. One suggestion, maybe you want to load your plate up high, then take it to the kitchen, toss it all into a blender, and then take your shake back to the table. Announce it's the new Thanksgiving weight loss shake.
Because if you blend it all up, it's less calories, right? Things to do to liven up Thanksgiving dinner, I guess tongue-in-cheek with these, but you know what? Depending on your family, you might want to do this. When everyone goes around the table to say what they're thankful for, say, I'm thankful I didn't get caught, and refuse to say anything else.
Oh, boy. Oh, what else can you do? Here's an idea.
Yes.
Bring a date that only talks about the tragic and abusive conditions known to exist at turkey farms.
I don't know if that will liven the conversation or if that will just make it screech to a halt. Things to do, funny things, to liven up Thanksgiving dinner. How about one more? As everyone finishes eating, turn to the host and say, see, I told you they wouldn't notice that the turkey was past expiration date. You were worried for nothing.
Oh, funny.
If anyone does any of these things, please tell us how they turn out.
All right.